Hey, this is Tara Gentile, and today I'm talking to Kelly Deals, who has been a personal mentor and role model for me. And I'm so excited to be talking to her. And she is a writer with a capital W who shares her thoughts on writing, money, and sex, among other things, on her blog, Cleavage. Kelly, I am beyond thrilled to be talking to you today.
Oh, I'm always thrilled to talk to you. And, thank you for loving me up with that intro.
Oh, yeah. You're welcome. So, I'm going to ask you to love up yourself now, with your own intro, because I think, we always kind of look at how, or, we have an idea of who people are in our heads, but I think as entrepreneurs, we tend to self-identify a slightly different way.
Sure.
So could you tell me a little bit, just briefly about who you are and what you do from your own point of view?
All right. Well, let's start with what I do, because that's a much simpler question than who I am. But what I do, I write a blog, and I make my living off of writing, not specifically off writing off my blog, but as a writer. And when I decided to find a focus for my blog, I thought, what are the three things I'm never going to get bored of writing about? And those three things are sex, money, and meaning. I can never get bored of those. I have topics forever and ever, which I think is a great way to find your niche. What's the thing that you're passionate about and you can't stop talking about? So that's what I do. And, sort of the long story or the short story is that, almost 2 years ago, I had a full-time job. I had two little girls in daycare. And, I was like, is there more to this? Like, I'm just on a hamster wheel of commuting and getting them to daycare and getting them home and getting dinner ready and collapsing onto the sofa to watch TV. Like, there has to be more to this. And from the outside looking in, that looks like a successful life. You're living in a nice house, your kids are well dressed, you have a nice car. Like, all of those things are supposed to be, what we're happy with. And I had a decent position, and it just felt to me quite empty. And so I started writing. Although I'd always written and I'd always had, side gigs as a writer, and most of my jobs had always involved being a writer, I started writing for an audience and putting it out there. And really, when I started my blog, that was just the intention, just to find an audience and become a better writer by writing every day. So that's what I do. I write about sex, money, and meaning, and I also write a Sunday series about how to be a better writer. And have an ebook coming out about how to use blogging to grow your business, but also to grow as a person, as an artist, because that's really been my experience. The practice of writing is the practice of thinking. So that's what I do.
Just a sentence.
Okay.
How, when you look in the mirror, what do you see?
I'll give you a couple of words. Okay. I see mama. I see sex goddess. I see writer. I see chauffeur. I see a whole bunch of things. And I guess what's interesting to me is that I don't feel internally a lot different than did when I was, 20 or 25 or what have you. But I'm just starting to get to the place where I think I have a bit of wisdom, where I'm starting to understand how people work and how I work, and understanding about learning from mistakes and being so much more gentle with the world. I'm just starting to get to that place. So I'm starting to feel more like a wise woman these days.
Awesome. That's a great place to be, I think.
Oh, it's a nice place to be heading.
Yes. So I am going to ask you now, when was the last time you felt stuck? Because the people that are listening are the people are well, they're just like all of us. I think we all feel stuck, and it's very easy to think that there are successful people who don't get stuck, and then there are unsuccessful people who do get stuck. And that's such a lie. We're all the same. We all get stuck. We all have places that there are, seeming barriers around us. So when was the last time you felt stuck, and how did you kind of move out of that?
Oh, it was probably about 6 or 7 months ago. I felt really, really stuck. I just felt like I had all these pieces that were half written. I was behind with my work for my clients because I had all of these pieces that were half written. I was neglecting my blog. I wasn't developing products. Like, all the things that I sort of had mapped out as this is how a good business goes. I wasn't getting any of them finished. I was doing a lot of work, but nothing was finishing. And like, good ideas are great, but execution is what counts. And I was not executing. And I just started to get, on the hamster wheel of I'm not doing this, I'm not doing this, I'm stuck, I'm stuck, I'm stuck. And so a couple of things helped me. One, I talked to my friend Dave Doolin, who is just an extraordinary guy and a blog genius. And he got online with me immediately. We got on Skype and we got on Google Docs. And he's like, the thing you need to do right now is finish something. Because that will, you know, get you unstuck because now you've got something. It's like when you have 3 credit cards. You pay off the little one first because now you feel like you have a little accomplishment. It's done. And now you have the to go get to the other two.
Yes.
That's the same thing that he wanted me to do. He just wanted me to have a little success so then I could go and take that, you know, the good juju from the good success and roll it into something else. So we got on Skype and we got on Google Docs and we wrote a piece from start to finish together. And it was really good and went really fast because it was the two of us. And so I learned 2 things there. One is when you're stuck, go get a tiny success because it will fuel, give you the confidence and the little lift to go and tackle the bigger things. And also collaboration and reaching out. You know, reach out to someone and let them be there for you. And collaborate on something. That was new to me. I'm not much of a collaborator. I'm a bit of a lone wolf. So having that experience of how rich and rewarding and quickly a project moves when 2 people feed their energy into it, that was quite a surprise and a good thing to learn. So that was how I got unstuck. And, you know, I did go and tackle all the other things. I got them knocked out and then actually, like, launched a little thing at the same time. Because I think it's just that little success. You just need that little success. You know, it's like sugar in your coffee. It just lights it up. You need that little success so you can get going. But I think there's a larger question around stuck as well. Because we, if we're sort of like type A, go, 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 entrepreneurial kinds of people, we think that we need to constantly be busy and producing and creating in order to actually be making progress. But it's not all the quality of the output. The output is only good when the quality of the input is being taken care of. And so I think that stuck is not, is almost a result of us thinking linear. Like, you know, you do this, then you do this, and then you do that. And if you're stuck, there's like a break in that line. And you're stuck in this break. And how do you build a bridge between those 2 lines to make them meet again? But if you think about it in a like more cyclical and seasonal way, like even in a really organic, natural way, you know, we're creatures of nature. We live in nature. Nature has cycles. And, you know, there's no creature who's go, go, go all year. You know, and neither are we. And so sometimes stuck is actually our winter, where we need to take a rest and reflect and think and gather the energy for the coming spring. So sometimes stuck is a really necessary part of the creative process, because there's no artist who can frenetically create all the time. There's times where ideas have to incubate. And I think sometimes stuck is when we feel like we should be producing, but our body and our soul and our psyche is saying, no, now is the time to think and to mull and to reflect and to feed all the artistic, you know, appetites inside of you and to nurture them so that you can then be energized to go and create. I think sometimes stuck is winter.
That's really powerful. And 2 things kind of came to mind as you were talking that way. One being, you mentioned the word gentle earlier, and I think, you know, thinking of yourself being stuck like that and how you can get yourself out requires a real gentleness of your own spirit, you know, really gentle inner self-talk. The more you are hard on yourself and the more you're negative to yourself, that doesn't get you anywhere. You have to be gentle to move forward or, you know, to continue the cycle. And then I also love your metaphor of winter and a period of rest is just really beautiful. And do you think, kind of jumping off of that, that if you kind of schedule or plan for those periods of rest, or, you know, looking at the seasons, that if you understand maybe how your creative process goes through its own seasons, that you can kind of create those periods for yourself to better avoid the unnatural feelings of stuck?
I think that's an excellent idea. I think that's, as you create, you get a sense of the way you create. And I know I'm not alone here, but I tend to work in, let's say, 6 weeks bursts of just, you know, sheer passion, intensity, and I rock it out and I'm working all the time and the kids are in bed and I'm working more, but it's not that I'm tired. It's like I'm on fire. I've got all this stuff to give. I'm doing it and I'm helping my clients and I'm doing my thing and I'm writing and, you know, everything's on fire. And I know what's going to happen at the end of that 6 weeks is I'm going to be tired and I'm going to need to just detach for 3 weeks and calm down and take my kids to the park and, you know, get a little bit away from Twitter and not answer my email. And I know that's just the nature of the way that I produce. I know that. It's been like that since I was a little kid. I always took on a whole bunch of projects, rocked them out, and then I wanted nothing to do with anyone for 2 or 3 weeks. And I could do a whole bunch of things. I could regiment myself. I could force myself to calm down in those, you know, intensive creating times. But what I've decided to do is just embrace that and think that is the way I roll. And so I do tend to schedule short-term projects and go all at them and then take a breather. And that does give me a sense of taking care of myself and a sense of just acknowledging, like, this is the way I work. And if I schedule myself for, you know, 6 months, 9 to 5, it's not going to work for me. It's just not the way I work. And I think this is one of the things about being gentle with yourself, is just being really honest about the best way to create for you. Like, if you know that your most creative times are from 9 to 11 o'clock in the morning, then don't schedule calls during that time. Don't check your email. You know, don't let your friend come over for coffee. That's a gentleness and a respect to yourself and to your creative energy. And I think part of growing up as an entrepreneur is to throw away the way that other people work and the way that we've been trained that work looks, in the sense that it works, you know, from 9 to 5, Monday to Friday, and, you know, throw that away and really understand what's your creative cycle, how do you work, when are your best times, and then organize your life to accommodate that. And that's, like you said, like, schedule reality, schedule for the way that you work, because that gives you permission to create in the way that you need to create.
Right, and that's, you know, that's, I think that's part of the whole freedom that we're looking to attain as entrepreneurs too, if that's our thing. You know, we're not looking to, I think we tend to kind of structure things the way we've been told or the way things have always been, just like you said, but really what we're after is something that's all our own. And if you ignore that, you're going to deal with the consequences, unfortunately, but it is possible to ignore that.